Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Glad to have you all here with us, joining us for episode 95 of the pod. If you didn't manage to catch last 2 weeks' episodes, we did the best and worst moments of Star Wars according to ChatGPT. Those episodes are available wherever you get your podcasts, including the video version here on YouTube, where I should mention with YouTube as well, if you're not yet subscribed over on YouTube to the Hoth Hangout channel there, check us out for the video version of every podcast, as well as all of the latest reactions to the newest shows when they go live. Shout out to the 450 of you who are subscribed over on YouTube. Shout out to Snoop Dogg as well. Thank you. You can always contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise. And we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can, of course, listen to the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people as well. We're on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. You can find us at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, as well as in Discord with the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, for which you can find the link to join that down in the show notes of today's episode. Today's theme, today's topic we are discussing is the best Star Wars planets, the worst Star Wars planets. We're doing a tier list ranking of all the Star Wars planets. What is your favorite Star Wars planet we want to pose going into today's discussion? As we journey into the land of Star Wars planets, Joey, how you doing, man? How you feeling about today's episode?
Pretty good. I think this is going to be an educational one for us as well. We were looking through this tier list that was created on this tier list website, and there were a couple of those that you and I were not completely familiar with. We'll have maybe a little bit of a blurb for some of those that we don't know much about. So I think we're going to be educated here with some of these planets. But, I mean, the usual ones, there's that one really snowy, icy one that everyone seems to like. I don't remember the name, but hopefully that one comes up.
It starts with an H, not coming to mind right now, but
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Sure, it will end up somewhere on that tier list, but yeah, saying a few that we don't know is being maybe generous, because I'm reading this list and I'm like, I don't know if there's anyone else out there listening to this that feels this way, but anything that's not in the original or prequel trilogy, if it's a planet name, I'm like, ooh, like there's a. If it's a planet name from the sequels, Rogue One, Solo, or any of the live-action TV series, there's like a 25% chance I'm going to be familiar with the name of the planet. So this will be, like you said, an educational experience. And, yes. But hey, in terms of the original and the prequel planets, I'm feeling pretty good about those.
Yeah, if anybody has ever watched our trivia episodes, you should not be surprised at all from any of this information.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. By the way, new trivia episode potentially coming soon. Be on the lookout for it. Before we get into our discussion of our Star Wars planets tier list, a couple big pieces of news this week we want to touch on before we hop into the bulk of the pod. Star Wars Outlaws Early Access officially started at the time of this recording yesterday, August 26th. And the general release for this game will be later this week on August 30th. Joey, you had the opportunity to pick up the early access to the game and played it last night and today. What were your biggest takeaways from your experience with the game so far?
So I definitely had a little bit of the FOMO when yesterday rolled around, and I went on the twitch.tv website, seeing a bunch of the streamers playing the game. And I was like, you know what? I know you and I had gone back and forth about whether we were going to buy this game at all, or if, you know, because if you remember, there's a season pass that is paywalled, and in that pass you have a Jabba the Hutt mission that you would really want to do, as it is Jabba the Hutt, and we're talking about smugglers, we're talking about syndicates, crime syndicates. So I think you definitely want the Hutts to be involved in your gaming too. So I figured, since I was probably really wanted to play that mission, I might as well get the the gold edition that comes with early access, because that's not the base tier, obviously, it's just the game itself. This is one level up at $109 or whatever that I had to pay to get this. I did not get the ultimate edition, which was like 140 whatever, that came with all these cosmetics. But I mean, the game played like really well. I don't remember if you know when we played Jedi Survivor together, there was a lot of hiccups. There's one time the game crashed. Actually, a couple of times the game had crashed on me. The graphics were really good, but it was just a very heavy game, and you could tell, for me anyway, my PC would kind of struggle with it. This game, smooth as butter. The way it goes through everything, like I hadn't had any hiccups, any issues, any rendering problems or anything like that. So it was a pretty relatively smooth game. And if you remember, a couple of episodes back in the podcast, we said this game had gone gold, and that meaning that it was ready for the general release. Like, and it was like still a month away or a month and a half away until the actual release of the game. So I think that really shows here when I was able to play it. And there were a lot of mechanics that were very similar to Jedi Survivor, like mantling and like jumping from wall to wall, things like that. I haven't done any wall runs yet, so I don't think that's in here. That feels like more of a Jedi move. But my favorite character, obviously, is Nyx. Nyx can actually do anything. He could steal some credits for you. He could like pretend to play dead in front of some enemies just so you can attack them or distract them. So it's a pretty fun game. I've only played about an hour and a half of it. I will admit I got a little bit dizzy playing it, so I need to work on the graphic settings to help me out a little bit. But other than that, it was a really fun game. I've seen a lot of people just really enjoying this game, the real world concept, the first one I think in Star Wars. And really can't wait until I could, you know, fix my settings and play a lot longer with this game.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a chance, at the very least, being able to watch you play it a little bit. Hopefully maybe picking it up myself. We'll see. But I've heard lots of positive feedback on the game as well from the early access folks, which is promising, because there was some negative sentiment surrounding the release of this game and kind of, I don't know, but it's good to hear that people are seeming to enjoy it more than was even anticipated. So Star Wars Outlaws, once again, early access now available. General release of the game available later this week on August 30th. Look for it in an online store near you. Do they even release physical games for Star Wars Outlaws?
I think so, yeah. I think like Xbox and PS still have those, so, yeah. I would assume. But
well, in that case, get it at a store near you as well if you're a Xbox, PlayStation person. So looking forward to hearing more about the release of that game later this week. And moving to perhaps our biggest piece of news this week, circling around the Star Wars world, there was a Rolling Stones article commenting on the Acolyte's cancellation. This is, of course, big news that we covered last week on the podcast. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago.
Not this week.
Yeah, that the Acolyte was officially being canceled. I mean, what is your biggest takeaway from the article? I gather that, I don't know, it felt, I don't know. I'm curious what you thought about the article, because I definitely thought, when I think about the Acolyte, I mean, what other reason would you cancel it other than it didn't? Like, if you're Disney and you're speaking strictly from a business perspective, it seems like if it doesn't make the money you expect it to make, like that's the biggest reason it would be canceled. I mean, I don't know. What were your thoughts when you read the article?
I think what I gathered from it is it wasn't even so much. I think the point of the article is really who the people making decisions at Disney, who they're listening to, and because they kind of refer a little bit about the fandom that was really vocal on the negative side of the Acolyte, which makes sense, but it feels like that they were trying to say that it was not fully representative of the entire Star Wars fandom, you know. So I don't know if it was more based on money or not. I do understand that there was a drop in viewership over the time of the over the time of the series. But at the same time, there was it seems like they were focusing a lot more on those negative reviews from fandoms, from the YouTubers, from, you know, people of influencers. So I think that's what this article is kind of saying, is that how are we supposed to move on and continue Star Wars with the worst of its fans, right? So that's the name of this article. Can the best of Star Wars survive the worst of its fans? Now, calling the Acolyte the best of Star Wars, I wouldn't. That's not where I would put it, for sure. But I think that if you cancel something like this, you're not allowing for growth in other areas. Because if you're cutting this off right here, who knows where this story goes, right? Same can be said about Book of Boba Fett, in all honesty, right? So there's you know, that was after one season, pretty much in the same kind of world as the Acolyte is now. You just have these huge storylines that are just going to stick out there. We mentioned this last week, that really don't have any ending now, you know, and especially the Acolyte, because I mean, there is truly a cliffhanger at the end of this. It's like imagining if Ahsoka season one didn't have, and you know, we're pretty sure, I don't remember if we ever heard of an Ahsoka season two, like all of that. I'm sure we have, and maybe I just forgot, but to say, again, I wouldn't call this the best of Star Wars, but I think if you're not allowed to experiment a little, and I think this, you know, this kind of falls into that, you won't be able to become your best Star Wars after it. People are looking back at, you know, original trilogy, prequel trilogy, anything before Disney was owned it, right? And that's where their Star Wars is. If you're not allowing any type of growth, and I think that's what this article is saying, if you're not allowing this kind of growth in these different stories, especially with these different and vast representation that you get in these stories, I'm talking about, you know, Manny Jacinto, I'm talking about Amanda Steinberg, you know, I'm talking about, you know, people of color also being like at the forefront of these shows, these movies, you're not able to grow. So I think that's where this article is coming from.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I feel like the part of the article that seems odd to me is it feels like almost, I don't know, like accusatory of fans that like it's their fault that the Acolyte wasn't successful. Like particularly like the portion of the fan base that was vocal about it, about not enjoying it, frankly. And like, I mean, sure, that maybe there's an element of truth there, but ultimately, like, I don't think Disney is sitting here thinking like, oh, there's a lot of people that didn't like, for example, if the Acolyte made like, you know, let's say it made like $1 million more than it was supposed to make or that they had anticipated, and that people still disliked it as much as they did, I don't think Disney would be sitting here saying like, we're going to cancel it. I think you know, ultimately, I don't think like a large portion of the fan base saying we don't like this has huge sway on Disney. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I don't think so either. As you know, from Disney being a huge corporation like that, I mean, you kind of hope not. But I agree. That's kind of what this article is pointing towards, is that, you know, the louder individuals that have a bigger audience that also do not like the Acolyte for whatever reason, it seems like, you know, they're thinking that holds a lot of weight on the decisions that Disney made. I'm not entirely sure about it. I feel like that may be, you know, painting it with a broad brush, but I think that it's not, I don't think that's the case in all, you know, at all, but I mean, in entirety, but I mean, it's a factor. I do think it's a factor.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was just reading through the article real quick. I feel like this is not an accurate number. They say the Acolyte cost over $100 million. And it cost like $200 million.
I thought it was a little bit more than that. Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, it's, you know, like you said, it is kind of like, as much as most people probably didn't like a lot of the elements of The Acolyte. At the same time, it is like a little bit of a bummer that we're not going to get a second season, mm-hmm. only because there was so much, like, whether you loved or hated it, like, there is a cliffhanger. And so at this point, you're like, well, at least, like, let me know what happened.
Right, yeah. So,
anyways, yeah, definitely a hot and spicy and controversial article, maybe there from Rolling Stone. But let us know down in the comments what your thoughts were on the content of the Rolling Stones article. And our last piece of news today in relation to The Acolyte as well is that there's currently a petition on change.org with over 50,000 signatures to basically reinstate the show. Now, I don't know if that's going to make any sort of, you know, I mean, it's nice. I don't think it's going to make Disney come out and be like, oh, you know,
50,000 people said it.
Yeah. Now, if there was like a million people, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things that it highlights the fact that there is a portion of the fan base that did enjoy The Acolyte, which is something worth noting, because I think it's pretty easy to paint The Acolyte with a bold stroke, with a bold, whatever they call it, a broad stroke of a brush, and say like, oh, well, people didn't like it. But, you know, I mean, here's a portion of the fan base who clearly did enjoy it enough to sign this petition and in hope of a second season. Like I said, I don't think this is going to do anything ultimately, but it speaks to the portion of the fan base that did enjoy the show.
Right. And it like you said, it just represents that there are people that, you know, enjoyed The Acolyte so much, in fact, that they, you know, and when it was canceled or when they decided to not continue it, this was just in the making. You knew somebody was going to make this and it was going to happen. So, although $50,000 is $50,000, 50,000 signatures. You know, it's a lot of signatures, but like you said, we're talking about multi-billion dollar, you know, industries here. You talk about, you need millions of viewers. You need million, you know, so if this was like a 3 million, 4 million sign, you know, signature type of change.org forum, then that's one thing. But, you know, 52,000 is, you know, unfortunately, I don't think would be enough to really even raise an eyebrow or anything at Disney.
Yeah. Before we move on to our polls, it's just also kind of worth noting that we really don't know. I mean, we can infer it's a money reason, but we really don't know, like, what Disney's intention was for canceling The Acolyte. I mean, I feel like it's fair to infer that it's a money thing. You know, the viewership for the finale, I believe I read, was the lowest of any live action Disney Star Wars show since they started using Disney Plus to release these shows. But it is probably a money decision, but that's not even something Disney has officially confirmed. So just worth noting, I think. And like you said, there, as much as I personally didn't love The Acolyte, there is a sizable portion of the fan base that enjoyed it a lot more than I did. That's totally fair, hence this petition. And so I'm curious to see how many signatures it does get, actually.
Right. Imagine like the next couple weeks, it's like in the millions. We're like, oh, we have more news.
Breaking news. Disney reads change.org petition with a million signatures, decides to reinstate The Acolyte.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah. Well, that does it for our news today. But in last week's episode, we touched on both favorite and least favorite Star Wars moments. 2 weeks ago, we talked about favorite. Last week, we talked about least favorites. And so this week, the poll was, what is your least favorite Star Wars moment? And by far, the highest vote getter on the YouTube community tab poll was Palpatine has returned, which is fair because I think that's probably what I would have voted for as well. Mm-hmm. Although Leia Spacewalk coming in at 21% in second place, followed by Death of Boba Fett and I Don't Like Sand, tied with 7% each. So, seems like Palpatine's return is kind of the lowest moment for some people, at least amongst these four offered. Simultaneously over on Twitter, Palpatine has returned, got 100% of the vote.
Yep.
Speaking of negative moments, but yeah, I guess that stands out kind of as maybe the least favorite Star Wars moment, especially from last week's episode, and maybe just in all of Star Wars in general. So thanks for casting your votes and having your opinions heard in that poll. Tune into the YouTube community tab or to the Hoth Hangout profile on X this week and cast your vote in this week's poll and have your voice be heard and displayed on next week's episode of the podcast. The time has come for our Star Wars planets tier list. Now, it's worth prefacing here that, as we mentioned earlier, or as I mentioned earlier, I feel like my planet knowledge of anything not original trilogy and not prequel trilogy is relatively limited. So okay. Going through this tier list before we started, I'm looking at like more than half of these are from either the sequel trilogy or live action Star Wars. So with that being said, if you hear me saying multiple times in this, I'm not even sure what that's from. I'm just preparing people for that. So when it happens, you're like, man, this guy doesn't even know his sequel trilogy Star Wars anything.
But we will. We also, as you'll see coming up in the next scene here, that we do have a category named unfamiliar at the very bottom of the tier list. Because more than likely, we may have one, two, hopefully not more than three or four in there that we just have no idea even what the planet is from. But we did get this from the tiermaker.com website. That's a website where, not sponsored by the way, where you could just create your own types of tier lists. And this is one that we stumbled upon and we decided to use.
Yeah, we're going to do these alphabetically, probably keeping it like 30 to 60 seconds per planet, and you know, offer our input on, and the criteria for these, it's kind of just general like coolness, enjoyment of the planet. Not necessarily, I've seen tier lists where people do like survivability on the planet. It's more so just about like kind of the coolness factor, the general landscape of the planet, how much we like it, more or less. So we're gonna do this collaboratively and just go for it. So are you ready to kick this thing off?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right.
Well, you got, then it's going in alphabetical order then, just kind of like right down the line.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Starting off with Octo from The Last Jedi.
Initial thoughts. What would you go?
Is Octo even, I mean, it is a planet, but like, do we know any of the planet besides this one island?
Well, it's the island, remember, and this is where, like, it's in Last Jedi, right? Where that's where Luke is training Rey the entire time. So you have obviously the Porgs are on there.
I was gonna say Porgs.
Yeah. So that's a pretty important thing right there. If for any other reason, you got the Porgs there. So that is a solid reason to a proponent for this particular planet.
It was able to like keep Luke alive for however many years, you know.
Right, exactly.
What are you feeling on this one? I'm feeling
B right
okay.
now.
Okay, I was thinking high B, low A. So we're already on the same wavelength. You want to go B or with it this one?
Yeah, we'll stay with B right now.
Okay.
And then if we, you know, I think what we've done in the past, we've looked at our list and like, oh, we'll switch this around in a little bit. So real quick, shout out to Gibbo. He's actually one going to be putting all the planets in their place, so I already feel bad for him because I know we're gonna be mixing things up a little bit here.
Yeah. All right. Next one is Agent Kloss. Now, many of these I looked up beforehand. This one included. This is from a scene, as best I understand, from Rise of Skywalker. It's the planet in the flashback where Luke is training Leia.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me as foresty, and that's about all the input I have to offer on this planet, Joey.
Yeah, this was in Rise of Skywalker, you said, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
it's like an indoor knockoff.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, so this is where Leia was training Rey, is that what you just said? Sorry.
Where Luke is training Leia in the one where she's got like
the flashback. CGI. Flashback. Oh.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, I know.
But
I don't
maybe
really know
also
enough.
Where Leia is training Rey, I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, I don't think that's I mean, I would throw this in like just the unfamiliar. There is just not enough
information
info on that for me, yeah. We see a little bit of it, but that's about it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good with an unfamiliar category on this one. We don't really get enough of this planet. However, the next planet on our list is one that, you know, we actually do get to see in a recent Star Wars TV show, really the best look at this planet for the first time, Alderaan. This is a planet that for years was only known as the planet that got blown up in A New Hope. And, you know, we got to see just kind of like the majesty and the beauty of it. I wish we could have seen more of this in the Kenobi show, but I liked what I saw. I also feel bad for all the inhabitants of this planet because we know what happens to them. I don't know. Where are you leaning towards on Alderaan?
Oh boy, there is a lot of lore behind it as well. We know obviously that's where Leia was for a long time and where she had grown up. And if you read things like, you know, if you are a book reader, they have the Leia book, Princess of Alderaan. So there's a little bit more information about that. Honestly, I would probably put this one as an A for me not only because of its beauty, but its really importance because that's the first planet that gets destroyed by, you know, something like the Death Star. So the importance of it in Star Wars, I think, is a big factor in it as well. So I'd put it at A.
I like A tier as well. And that's also moving forward with the rest of our list, like a really good criteria to have with these planets. Like, what is the importance of the planet in the story? Mm-hmm. It's something to consider as well. Next one is Arvala 7. And this is the planet that the entire series of The Mandalorian just kind of like opens up on. And I believe the first couple episodes.
Okay.
I honestly couldn't tell you much about the planet. But it is central to the story of Mando. In my best recollection, nothing about it stands out as more than just kind of like a similar to Tatooine kind of planet. I don't know. I mean, we spend much more time on the planet than we do with a planet like Agent Kloss, for example, that we put on the unfamiliar tier. So is it fair to put this in a tier or should we put it in unfamiliar?
Wow. I would throw it. Gosh, I would put it in a tier. I'd put it on C.
Yeah, I was going to say below Octo, but you want to go down to the C tier with it?
Yeah, I would go with C because although maybe it's important in the Mandoverse because it's kind of the first time we see Mando and, you know, other than that, I don't really have a big draw to it. And like you said, it's like Tatooine. It's just like a desert island or desert planet, so nothing too amazing about it, which really pulls me. So, although I wouldn't call it unfamiliar. I would just put it at the lowest tier.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Next up is Bespin, which is I know holds a special place in your heart. You're a big Lando fan.
I am. I am.
It's a unique concept design. Like, imagine being a concept artist for Star Wars in the 70s, and you're like, oh, you know what we could do for a planet? What if it's like a city in the clouds? Like, it's unique. Uh-huh. It has that nostalgia of Empire Strikes Back feel to it. I'm leaning towards making Bespin our first S tier.
I have no argument with that. S, absolutely. Okay. S for Bespin.
S for Bespin. By the way, side note, do all the cities on Bespin function the exact same as Cloud City? Or what is the planetary governmental structure of Bespin? What if we Great get a question. Star Wars anthology series just on governments in Star Wars and Bespin is one of the highlighted?
You know what? I wouldn't normally subscribe to something that's very government heavy, but I think I would in this case.
Yeah, exactly.
But if Lando Calrissian is the command or the commander in chief there, I'll subscribe to it.
Next up, we got Cantonica. Now, I couldn't have told you this was the name of the planet unless I looked it up, and it's the planet where the Canto Bight casino sequence takes place in The Last Jedi.
Okay. So it's not Canto. The planet isn't called Canto Bight. It's called Katanica or Katanica?
Right. I think Canto Bight is just the city and also the name of the casino, I believe, in the city.
All right. I want to hear yours first. Where would you put it?
I feel like I don't have a ton of reference for this. I think because this is a scene in the film that just feels so out of place, my initial reaction is to want to put it at C tier. obviously, like, architecturally, it has a lot more going on than our Vala right. 7 does. So, I don't know. I'm, like, I think just in terms of, like, sheer looks, I would probably lean towards, like, B tier. But in terms of place in the story, I'm, like, bottom of C tier.
Okay, yeah. I'm bottom of B tier. I think that's where I'd put it. Because and this might be, I don't know if this is a great reason, but this is a reason. I really, really love the Kanto Bight theme. I really like it. It's very reminiscent of the Cantina band type of theme as well. So I really did enjoy it. You learn a lot about the, and I think I mentioned, I forget if I mentioned this last week, but in the Kanto Bight scenes, you learn a lot about how war profiteering happens within the galactic, you know, in the galaxy, and where it all kind of comes from the same place, whether you are from, you know, Rebel Alliance or, you know, New Republic or whoever, or the Empire or New Order or First Order. I think I think there's some importance within it. So I would be okay with it being the bottom of B, or the top of C. So I think this is the first time you and I are kind of at a different thought process here.
You want to go bottom of B or top of C? Because we can always move it around later.
Yeah, we'll do top of C, so we could put it ahead of the our Vala 7. So, like, okay. Have it in front of it. Yeah.
Okay. Next up is Kato Nemoidia. Now, this is the home planet of the Nemoidian species, who, if you're not familiar, is kind of some of the leaders of the Trade Federation in the prequel trilogy, like Newt Gunray, for example. Mm-hmm. And I was researching this one, and I don't know if we actually see any of the mm-hmm. planet in live action,
right?
Other than the scene where Anakin, basically on Lord Sidious's orders, kills the Nemoidians. You know, he's like, Lord Sidious promised us peace. That's like the only scene that takes place on Kato Nemoidia, and you don't even really see the planet.
It's just like their conference room.
Right, exactly. It is shown in two episodes of The Clone Wars, for what it's worth. I remember those two episodes of The Clone Wars? No, I do not. So I don't have much to base this one on. I don't know. Do you feel good about putting it in unfamiliar? Or is
unfamiliar,
it
yeah. I thought on unfamiliar. Maybe above, maybe ahead of Agent Kloss.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Because of the particular scene that was involved with it.
Yeah, it's got some civilization to it. I feel like that mm-hmm. gives it some points.
Yeah, so I would put it ahead of Agent Kloss on the unfamiliar category.
Okay. Next up is Corellia. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is the first time... I mean, obviously we had references to Corellia throughout mm-hmm. the entire original trilogy. You know, the Millennium Falcon, of course, but... Is the first time we really see Corellia in live action in the Solo film? I want to say that it is.
I want to say that as well, because I remember when I was watching Solo for the first time and they mentioned they're on Corellia. I'm like, oh, cool. There's Corellia. We finally get to see where all these... Because isn't that where all, like, the ships are built?
Yeah, yeah.
Are on, like, Corellia?
It's like the
isn't
blue
that,
collar...
Isn't that Millennium Falcon is a Corellian, yeah. You know, like, whatever it is. I can't remember.
Yeah, factory
model.
Ship parts. It's like the blue collar Coruscant is how mm-hmm. I see it.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I think it looks cool as a concept, and we spend a lot of time there in Solo. By the way, I'm not as low on Solo as a lot of people are. I actually kind of liked that movie, but
I think I put it last on our movies rankings, unfortunately.
Oh, did you really? I don't have to go back and look where I put it. I think I had it at like 8th, maybe, out of the 12 or 11 films. Anyways, I'm feeling like bottom of B tier. Where are you at with this one?
B, that's solid. Yeah, I like that.
You like it?
I mean, it was we spent a good amount of time on there. It was very, like, grimy and you know, kind of you know, because that's where all some of the syndicates were. Or well, the one that Han was, you know, up against. And, you know, they ended up kind of trying to escape it. I mean, there's a lot of lore and obviously importance, especially if a lot of these ships come onto there. Blue collar Coruscant, as you will.
Yeah. Speaking of Coruscants, that's our next planet on the list. It would be difficult for me to not put Coruscant on S.
Okay.
Are you feeling it on S or somewhere else?
I would put it on S just because it comes up everywhere. It's almost that's a core planet, right? So I think that the fact that it is in there, it's almost difficult to put it anywhere else.
It's so central to the story, and it's just like iconically what you would think if you told someone who never seen Star Wars, like what their expectation of Star Wars is.
Right. And I want to add this too. Whenever there's a scene on Coruscant, you know that's a scene on Coruscant. Like right away in your head, you're like, that's Coruscant right there. Or anything that looks like it, that's like your reference point. Oh, that looks like Coruscant. Or, you know what I mean? So I think that shows the importance of the planet itself and the impact it has on the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, there's like a certain color palette to it. Yeah. Corvus is the next planet. Now,
with Coruscant, I would put it above Bespin, by the way, too.
Oh, yes. I was thinking the same thing. Sorry. Yeah. I should have clarified. I also would put it above Bespin.
Yeah.
The next planet of Corvus is where the city of Caladon is located. And this is where, after Din Djarin helps Bo-Katan seize those weapons from the Imperial cruiser, that Ahsoka could be found in this city. Like, that's that scene. This is the Ahsoka episode of Mando season 2.
Mm.
Like, where, what's her face? Why do I always forget
the
her name?
The magistrate's there, yeah?
Yeah, magistrate Morgan.
Morgan Elspeth, yeah.
Why does she have a name that's so forgettable? I can't ever remember her name, my goodness. Corvus is like a desolate wasteland, like with one city that's sort of thriving and or not even thriving, just like, you know, being
just getting by, really.
Yeah, ruled
under the hand of Morgan.
Yeah. I'm feeling C.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go C. Probably above Cantonica.
Yeah, I had it in the same spot, I think. Yeah. Next planet is Krait. This is the planet from Last Jedi where the ships are flying along and the red, like, powder is being emitted from the ground. It's a pretty cool scene. Like, say what you want about The Last Jedi, which, again, I personally like more than Rise of Skywalker by quite a bit. Hot take. I know there's a lot of people that don't like
that hot.
Not that hot. Okay.
Lukewarm. Lukewarm take.
Yeah. Lukewarm take. It's a pretty cool concept. I feel like for the concept of the red stuff coming out of the ground alone, I feel like that's enough for me to want to put it at the B tier, maybe. I don't know. Where do you have this one?
Yeah, I would put it at B as well. I would put, I mean, up against Octo and Corellia, I would put it above both of those. I would put it above both of those.
Ooh, okay.
Because, okay. Because that's where the remaining, you know, soldiers of, they're not called the Rebellion at that point. What are they called now?
the Resistance.
The Resistance. Thank you, gosh. I forgot. The Resistance. That's kind of like the remains of the Resistance, like, you know, and then that's where the standoff between Kylo and Luke, that whole thing kind of happened, although it wasn't really Luke there. He was using an image of him across the universe, you know, people don't like that part, but so I think it has a pretty good amount of importance in the Star Wars, as much as, you know, people may not like it. I thought it was a really good place to have all of that with the red, you know, shooting up. It's like the salt planet. They also have those, if you remember, those crystal wolves. I can't remember the name, the species of those wolves, but those that kind of like ran through the caves there. So yeah, I would put this in the B tier at the top of it, ahead of Octo right now.
All right, I like it. Next planet is Dakar. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. This is the planet that the Resistance has their base on at the end of The Force Awakens. Gotta be honest, don't remember much about this planet, as is going to be the case with a lot of the sequel trilogy planets. Based off the image, I like the vibe of it. It kind of has like an indoor meets Dagobah aesthetic going on. Okay. Like the mugginess and fogginess of Dagobah mixed with the foreground of Endor, maybe without the trees, though. I don't know. Mm. I would lean towards putting this either at the unfamiliar, or if I had to put it on a tier, maybe B.
Oh, or really? You'd put it
top at, of C? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking more like somewhere on C.
Okay.
Because that is where the Resistance base was towards the end of, you know, where in Force Awakens. And then ultimately that's where they all kind of escape from at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker. So I think that's, it has its importance. I mean, it does have similar feels of a, what did you say, Endor or Yavin 4? I can't remember where you said.
Yeah, but maybe it's more Yavin 4 than Endor. Yavin 4, it doesn't have as much trees, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's probably... And but does that give it like less points because it's trying to be a copycat of another planet, you know? So
that's the thing. Like at a certain point, I feel like most planets are copycats of other planets.
Right. Yeah. And we know that The Force Awakens is a copycat of like, you know, New Hope. Right. So
yeah.
I mean, I throw it in C probably. Gosh, above Corvus. I'd probably put it atop of C maybe.
Okay. Okay. All right. I like that. Next up is Dagobah. Dagobah, the home of well, I guess not the home, but, you know, the place mm-hmm. where Luke finds Master Yoda. This one is, I don't feel like Dagobah as a planet in and of itself is deserving of anything higher than B, but because Yoda is on it, and it's so central to the story of Empire, like, are you obligated to put this higher?
I feel like you are. I feel like it has to be like that's the importance of it. Although I don't know how long Luke, I always wonder like the, you know, I never looked at how long Luke was training with Yoda during these times or, you know, either during or after Empire. Cause it really, I mean, as far as screen time, it's not a ton, you know, but obviously it's very important to the role, to the story of Luke and the Yoda. So I would be fine with A, putting it like, under Alderaan.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Ooh, I don't know. Under or above? Like, the planet itself definitely goes under.
Yeah, right, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool
the
with that.
The importance may be above, so these could flip-flop, so maybe we revisit later.
Yeah. Also, the fact, you ever thought about the fact that of an entire planet, a swamp planet, Luke just happened to crash right next to Yoda's hut?
That's true, yeah. And imagine how much it must smell there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so maybe that's definitely under, because Alderaan probably smells very good.
All right, rapid fire the next five. Are you ready for
okay,
these?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
Eadu, the planet with the lab from Rogue One.
Oh, gosh. The lab? That was the lab from Rogue One? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez, I would put unfamiliar. I don't know enough about that.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so like probably at the bottom of unfamiliar.
Exegol, Rise of Skywalker. The planet where the finale takes place.
Yeah. Oh, that's the finale. Yeah, that's where the Emperor is basically the entire time, right?
Yes.
Oh, and they're all trying to get to it. I'd put they're trying to get to it the entire time too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'd probably put that at the bottom of B. I wouldn't have problems with that, or at the top of C.
I like that. Okay, Felucia. This is the planet. I think the only time we see this in live action is during the Order 66 scene mm-hmm. when Aayla Secura is leading her clone troopers around and they turn on her.
Just because it looks so good, I want to put it in B.
Okay.
I would put bottom of B. What do you think?
I was going to say, like, I think just based on looks alone, I would almost put it at the top of B.
Top of B. How about between Crate and Acto?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Because I feel like Crate, at least it got a little bit more importance
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Geonosis, the home of, well, I mean, the climax of episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Oh. I mean, would this be, I kind of like the that battle of Geonosis, kind of great. All those Jedi.
It is a
cool I would put game. It, I mean, I could be argued into S for this one.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say argued into A.
No, I can get, I mean, I think this is solid A. But I think I could be argued into S, but you know, I think that is also a stretch. But I would definitely put it in A.
How do you feel about top of A tier?
Top of A tier, above Alderaan. Yeah. I think I'd be okay with that.
Okay. All right. Next one, Hosnian Prime. This is the scene. This is the planet that Starkiller explodes.
Yeah.
The Force Awakens. This is Alderaan Part 2.
Yeah, right. I mean, unfortunately, not enough info on that one, so I throw that at in unfamiliar. I mean, it's literally like you see people like look at it and then they're gone. So I would put that in probably bottom. I'm honestly of unfamiliar.
All right, Gibbo preemptively moving Hoth to the S tier at the top.
That's what the planet was with the snow and the ice.
Yeah, I forgot about Hoth. Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, if we didn't put it at S, I mean, we should just sign up for another. We should sign up for another podcast. Coruscant Crew would probably we'd have to be renamed or something.
Something like that. Yeah. Like Bespin Bites. I don't know.
That'd be a good like foodie podcast. Ooh,
like a Star Wars food channel. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Hoth. Gotta put it at the top. Gotta put it at the top for us. Jakku. Where are we going with Jakku?
I mean, as much as it's like and everyone why is everyone go back to Jakku? You know, I think that's a big thing. You know, the importance of it in Force Awakens, very big. You know, it's kind of where Rey was for the entire time and where she met Finn. I mean, I'm comfortable at B, but probably the lower end of B. So
yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
So yeah, probably the end of B. Yeah.
Do you like it above or under Exegol? Because I could go either way.
I could go above. Let's go above Exegol. Yeah, okay. Above Exegol. Yeah.
Jedha.
I mean, it was such a cool. I love Rogue One. And that's where we kind of see Jedha first. So I'm going to try to pull that away from it, like just my love for Baze and Chirrut, and knowing that that's where they were most of the time. But as a I'm trying to think as a like kind of aesthetic look, it's kind of like it's gritty, right? So I would probably. I don't know. I'm almost like okay with putting it down at C.
Okay. I feel like we should go top of C with this one.
Top of C. Okay. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
By the way, the wiki page for Jedha is extremely long. It's
There's a whole thing that I know I just mentioned Rogue One, but Guardian of the Wills and all that stuff is there. So yeah. I don't even wanna.
So many Legends things.
So somebody's very upset with me that we put it at C. So that's fine.
Yeah. Sorry, Legends fans. Next two planets, I love both of these. Kamino, Attack of the Clones is primarily where this is featured, but it's also been featured in lots of other Clone Wars and as recently as Bad Batch content. I like similar to Bespin. I think the concept for Kamino just feels quintessentially Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm leaning. I have a soft spot for Kamino, so I'll let you make the final call. I'm leaning towards the bottom of S.
Bottom of S? No, I could take that. I was gonna say top of A, bottom of S. So yeah, I can give it just for you, Ben. I'll give you this one.
Yes, I love me some Kamino. I want more Kamino stories in my Star Wars.
Yeah, the bottom of S. Yeah.
All right, Kashyyyk. By the way, the other one that I love. This is. I feel like my conception of Kashyyyk is just like Star Wars Battlefront 2 maps.
Oh yeah, I mean that's not wrong at all. I mean all I think of Kashyyyk, I just think of the end of Revenge of the Sith with Yoda.
Yeah,
that's like my big thing. But have we seen Kashyyyk really outside of that?
I feel like it's in animated But no, mm-hmm. not in live action.
Okay.
The aesthetic of Kashyyyk makes me want to put it like at the bottom of A. I could be talked into B.
Yeah. I was thinking B. But where on B?
I think I hold too high of an opinion on this because of Battlefront 2. So I would put B somewhere.
Yeah, I would put it like after Felucia.
Okay.
Between that and Octo, because Octo kind of has that green feeling as well.
Yeah. I like that. Next up is Kef Beer. Oh, man. This one for me is just kind of like a little bit of
because it's Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, it's the scene where she holds up the dagger and is like, oh, that's where it is. Like, I'm pretty sure this is like a moon of Endor. Because it's like the remnants of the Death Star are just like on this planet.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. I mean, like, we don't really get, we don't really get a ton of this planet. Isn't this the same planet where the scene with Kylo and Rey takes place where he chucks his lightsaber off? I'm gonna go.
Either that or C. I would put it at C, if probably bottom of C for me.
Like below Arvala 7?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Okay. Yeah, I feel like its role in the film just really drags it down for me. Next up is Kessel. The Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs.
Where did we see this even?
Must
have been during Solo, right? Wasn't that when he actually did it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a scene in the film. I've only seen Solo twice.
Yeah.
But if I recall, I think there's the scene in the film where he makes the Kessel run in 12 parts.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You're right. I don't remember much other than that, though, to be honest. So I would have to throw it in unfamiliar.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Kajimi. This is the planet where in Rise of Skywalker, C-3PO is rewired and they have to like wipe his memory, but then it's actually like they figure out a way because R2 has a backup drive, and it actually didn't really mean that much as you thought it was going to. But most importantly, it's the home of Babu Frick.
Babu Frick was there, right? Zori Bliss was, I think, introduced there as well. From the Rise of Skywalker. I mean, I love Babu, though.
this just feels like it could be the same planet as Katonica. It's like the underworld of Katonica.
Yeah. I can feel that.
You want to put it next to Katonica?
It seems fair, right? So maybe what side of Katonica on C?
Like, if it's the underworld, it needs to go below Katonica.
Below it, yeah, okay. So between Katonica and Arvala 7, okay.
Mid to low C tier, more or less. Okay. All right, next up is La Mu. Hope I pronounced that one correctly as well. This one is, I believe, where the beginning of Rogue One takes place.
Oh, yes, like the farm. The farm that they're all on, right? I mean, do we really get that much?
Not really.
About that planet, yeah.
Just looking at the image, though, it reminds me of like lush pastures of Scotland or Ireland, or you know. I like the visual look of it, but if you want to put it on unfamiliar, that's cool because we really only get like a 10-minute scene on this planet.
Yeah. Unfamiliar is fine.
Mimban. Here's another one that I had to look up in the process of during the pre-podcast phase. This is a swamp planet. And during
Solo?
I want to say it's during the Clone Wars.
Oh.
Let's see. First appearance in Star Wars. First mentioned in the Clone Wars. Oh, but first appearance was in Solo. You're right. Okay. Yeah.
This is where they found Chewie. I think this is where Chewie was, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
The
very
the,
muddy.
Right. He was a prisoner. That's all I remember. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, fact that we had to look it up and like kind of piece it together, I would just throw it in unfamiliar and move on.
I'm good with that. Next up, we're definitely more than halfway at this point.
Yeah.
Endor, the iconic ending of Return of the Jedi. I mean, I feel like I'm leaning towards. It's weird. The image, I don't even know what the image is.
Is that like the just like their bridges, like the Ewok village?
Maybe, but it's so blue. I've never seen that image of Endor before, but it is a cool concept. Like Ewoks building this city in the trees. What are you thinking? Are you feeling higher? Are you feeling mid?
I mean, it's Endor, so I would go. I'd be okay with A for its importance, and I mean, they're Ewoks too. I love the Ewoks, so I would be okay with A, as much as probably as high as.
Ewoks or Geonosians? Which ones do you like more? Gut reaction.
Oh gosh, Ewoks because they're cuter.
I think you just answered your own question.
There you go, Endor, nailed it.
All right, next up is Morak. This is from Mando Chapter 15, The Believer. What exactly that scene is requires me to read off of this sheet here. A jungle planet. Mainly inhabited by humans, serves as a secret mining hub for the Galactic Empire, processing in a secret refinery guarded by stormtroopers. Yeah,
unfamiliar.
Intending to locate the cruiser of Moff Gideon. Yeah, I mean, like, I know this all happened in Mando, but like the actual landscape of the planet, even if we did remember the scene, just based on the fact that I had to look that up and read all that stuff off. And our unfamiliar category is getting a little bit crowded.
Yeah. We got some homework to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what this episode's all about, highlighting the fact that we need to do our homework on Star Wars planets. All right, Mustafar. Now, this is an interesting one. I am curious what you think.
Man, it's Darth Vader and, you know, the beginnings during the Revenge of the Sith. I mean, I can't put it any lower than A for sure. But can I put it in S? Oh, boy.
You want to know a fun fact about Mustafar?
Sure.
Apparently, the visual guide for The Rise of Skywalker confirmed that the beginning of that film, that first scene, actually takes place on Mustafar.
With the Kylo, like, cutting through all of those guys, right? In the trees, like the dead trees, right?
Yeah. Which I didn't know until I was doing research for this episode.
I think I did know that, like, at some point. I would go, gosh. Like I said, no lower than A for sure. I mean, I could probably put it at top of A, bottom of S. I'll let you.
I like top of A. I feel like it doesn't really have any like buildings or civilization, but just like the idea of an inferno planet is really cool.
Yeah, but I mean the battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin. I mean that's
battle of heroes. I mean you could talk me into the bottom of this.
Yeah, we'll put it at A right now.
Okay,
and then we'll think about it.
We've got Mygito. This is the planet where in Revenge of the Sith that Obi-Wan rides the thing that goes, wah, wah!
oh, and he gets shot down?
Yeah.
By an Order 66. This is where he was?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like we need to rank it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call this unfamiliar, right? So.
No, I'm feeling like, I don't know, like, I'm feeling between Corellia and Jakku on B tier.
Corellia and Jakku on B tier. Okay. Yeah, I could do that.
The species on this planet, I think they're the moons. Mm. Or is it the moons or is it... I think that's the same species as Darth Plagueis.
It certainly is, yeah.
Yeah. So this is the planet that Darth Plagueis species comes from. Okay, next up is Naboo.
Ooh.
Naboo needs some props. I'm saying.
Like a luscious
world. It's got the underworld of the Gungans and the sea.
Yeah, right. There's a whole other world there. It's very It's as iconic as a Coruscant, I believe.
Like you want to put prequel. It next to Coruscant?
Yeah, we could do that. Yep.
Okay.
Probably above. Yeah, I guess so. Above Bespin.
All right. Next up is Navarro. This one.
That was from Mando, right?
Mando, yeah.
It's basically like they were a bunch of villagers there, farmers there. I think that's kind of like their main thing.
Yeah,
I think the Empire was there. They had to fight back. I think that was that particular one, right?
I feel like this is where a lot of Mando takes place. If I'm thinking of the correct,
is that where he ends up with Grogu? Right? Isn't that where they are right now? I feel like that's where they ended up.
Yes, this is where the Bounty Hunters Guild is located. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Carl Weathers. Rest in peace.
Carl Weathers. I'm feeling... I don't know. I kind of like it around the same spot as Maegito. Or do you feel like it belongs in the C? Or in the A? What are you thinking?
I mean, I was thinking top of C.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with top of C.
Yeah, top of C.
Next up is, I believe that says Passana. It's like Passana. Really small on my screen.
Yeah, that's the in Rise of Skywalker. It was like that big like celebration with all the locals, and where they all got sucked into the sand. I believe that's where it was, and then
that's where the dagger was located.
The dagger was located there. Ochi was there. I mean, it's pretty important to the Rise of Skywalker, this planet, actually. That's where Rey meets Lando. Yeah, where we see Lando. Yep, we see Lando on that one. Rey does the flip over Kylo's TIE Defender. So there's a lot. I mean, this is probably the planet of Rise of Skywalker.
This is like this planet is like the Star Wars version of Burning Man, is what I think. I don't know. Where do you want to go with this one?
Yeah, that's where Kylo. Well, Rey actually, like, quote unquote, kills Chewie.
Oh, or yeah.
At least that's where we thought.
Yeah. What do you think? Bottom of.
Listen, I know it's Rise of Skywalker, but
I don't know.
I would put I would put it like, because Exegol is where it's at. I would probably put it above Exegol.
I'm cool with that. Yeah, I like that. Next up is one that I'm going to need lots of reminding because I'm looking at the word and not recognizing it at all.
Okay.
It's Salukami.
Okay.
During the Clone Wars, the inhabitants of this planet wished to stay out of the conflict. Republic forces were able to drive the Separatists from this planet. It became the site of an invasion in one of the final battles of the war. I mean, like, the first appearance, is this a Clone Wars planet? It is a Clone Wars planet.
It is a Clone Wars planet, yeah.
So
unfamiliar.
Yeah. Okay. Like again, this is planets that we've seen, but if you ask me to name what episode of the Clone Wars this is in, yeah.
No idea.
Good luck.
That ain't me.
Yeah. Savarine. We're in, almost done with the S's here. Savarine.
Solo? This is from Solo, I'm guessing?
Yes. This was located at one spur of the Kessel Run and the Outer Rim territories, consisting of sandy land masses and huge oceans. Crimson Dawn once had business there. Maz Kanata marked it as a point of interest on a map she included in the book that would become known as the Smuggler's Guide.
Hmm.
I think this is where the headquarters of Crimson Dawn is, where the scene with Dryden Vos takes place in Solo.
At the end there, yeah.
Right.
And ultimately with Maul. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Spoilers. I don't know much about this planet.
I feel like I should know more, but I don't. So I'd put it on familiar.
Okay. Scarif.
Ooh, Scarif. Good one. That's a good one.
That's
the end of Rogue One. That's pretty much where all of Rogue One characters die.
Yes. Right? And it's like the last, almost hour of the film is on this planet?
Yeah. That's where everything is. That's where the plans were, essentially, for the Death Star. This is probably pretty important.
I'm cool with putting Scarif. I like it in the B tier. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, high B tier, above crate. Yeah, top of the B tier.
Okay. Sorgon. Now, this is another one from Mando. This is where that I think group of villagers lives. I don't know how much of the planet we actually get to see other than this village in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You want to? There's a whole episode, I think. This is the episode, I think, where he meets Cara Dune, I want to say.
Oh, okay. Guys, I got to say, like, a lot of the Mando ones are just, like, one and done's. Just like, okay, here's where it was.
Right.
So it like, almost doesn't have a lot one-off of consequence. You could have actually put them on any other planet, and it wouldn't matter, so I'd put this in Unfamiliar.
Okay. Next one, Starkiller Base gets a spot on this list. Is it a planet?
It's bigger than... I mean, it's big, right? I mean, it's...
But if it's man-made, is it a planet?
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, it had a lot of... It had, like, trees and stuff, and I feel like it had its own, you know? So it seemed like it, you know? But if it is on this list, where would you put it here?
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe... I mean, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I've got that going for it. But I feel like the fact that it's not, like, traditionally a planet just brings it down for me.
That's fine, yeah.
The scene itself where Hux is giving the talk in Force Awakens is really neat. I like the visuals of that scene a lot.
Yeah,
I'm probably thinking, like, around the middle of B.
Middle of B? Okay. What, maybe after Octo?
Yeah, actually, I had it in the exact same spot. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Next up is Takodana. Takodana.
I think that's Maz Kanata's castle.
Right. Yes. Don't get to see a whole lot of the planet, but I think this is the scene where Rey and Kylo have their first lightsaber battle.
No, that's where Kylo sees her the first time, yeah, and like and ultimately captures her. Is that?
And is this the planet where Finn get where Finn gets sliced across the back by Kylo?
No, that's on Starkiller Base. That's on Starkiller Base. So this is where
Rey finds the lightsaber.
Rey, yeah, right. That's where Rey finds the lightsaber under Maz Kanata's castle. She ends up running away. Finn was trying to get out of the, just completely get out of there. And ultimately, this is where Kylo captures Rey initially. So I think there's a good amount of importance in here. So I'd probably throw it in B somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking probably, the same thing.
Probably above Octo, actually.
Okay.
Just because of the importance of its role.
I like that. Next up's a big one. Probably the biggest one remaining. Well, one of the two biggest ones remaining on our list of, what, six or seven left. Tatooine.
Mm.
The home of Darth Vader himself. The resting place of Luke and Leia's lightsabers at the end of Rise of Skywalker. I feel like Tatooine, as a planet, in and of itself, is probably not deserving of an S.
Right.
Its role in the story feels like it does deserve an S. It's obviously the home of Anakin Skywalker. Mos Eisley is one of, if not the most iconic city. Well, I don't know. Cloud City would take exception to that, but like one of the most iconic cities in Star Wars.
Right. And it was the first desert planet, so you got to remember that as well.
Well,
I would put it at A. What do you think? A somewhere?
I'm fine with top of A. I like top of A, yeah.
Ahead of Mustafar, though?
Personally, I would say yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm fine with it, too, yeah.
Next up is Trask. This is the planet where Mando meets Bo-Katan, I'm pretty sure. Where Bo has her, like, throne in that, like, makeshift throne, I want to say.
Okay.
It's kind I'm of familiar. Like an industrial... yeah. Industrial planet.
Yeah.
The word itself kind of looks like trash, so I'm not sure why they would planet that. But okay.
So close to that, that's not great.
Yeah. Next up is Tython. Now, this is a planet that I know has appeared a lot in Legends content. But this was a force that a planet that was incredibly rich in the Force. But we do see it. I believe its only live action appearance to date is in The Mandalorian. And this is where Ahsoka told Din Djarin to take Grogu to have him sit on that little stone, the Seeing Stone, I believe. And he began to meditate. So that's this planet. And this is also the scene where Boba and Finnick appear as well.
Yeah. Just because of all of what you said, I would have to put it in C. Although we may have said a lot of things about Mando, like planets, the importance of all that happened there, I think is pretty important.
Yeah, this one's tough because, like, if I included Legend stuff, I would put it higher than C.
Right.
But if we're doing, like, just canon things, we don't really have a ton of information about the planet. How do you feel about between Navarro and Jedha on the top of C tier?
Between Navarro and Jedha. Yeah, that's fine.
And I feel bad putting Tython there, but like if we're doing just canon and not Legends, I feel like that's
We'll put an asterisk in there for the future reference.
I'm now having second thoughts about Mygito being the planet where Obi-Wan falls. I think that's actually Utapau.
Oh, that actually sounds more right, even looking at this screenshot, yeah.
Yeah. Why did I think Mygito was the
planet? I don't even know.
So Utapau is the planet that the moons are from.
Okay.
What is Mygito?
Yeah.
I know what it is in Battlefront 2. Anyways, not to reiterate too much of what we've already talked about.
So Utapau, we would put above Jakku, right? That's kind of where, because that's where Mygito was. But now we need to find out what Mygito was.
Well, Mygito. Oh, okay. Mygito is the planet that Ki-Adi Mundi dies on in Order 66.
Oh. Wasn't it just like a dock or something? Am I thinking that wrong? Or is that someone else? No, that was the other like younger Jedi. Never mind. Ki-Adi Mundi. I can imagine Ayla Sakura, but I can't imagine Ki-Adi Mundi's death.
There's also...
Oh no, he's like, isn't he like in the forest and he just like turns around, or like not in the forest,
he's on land
and he's like go, and he like tells them all to go, and then all the Wars, the clone troopers stop,
yes,
and then he turns around. And he's like no, right, yeah.
That's Mygito. We don't actually see it too much in the film. There's also a segment in the Clone Wars where there's those like they look almost like sloths and monkeys combined. They're called the Lerman species. Only know this because I'm looking at a picture of them right now. But anyways, there's an episode of Clone Wars that takes place on Mygito.
Do we need to move Mygito then to like...
Yeah, maybe we drop it a couple spots. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean,
above Exegol?
Throw it in Unfamiliar. I mean, I would almost throw it in Unfamiliar. I don't really know it other than that one scene.
I would, except for I know it well from Battlefront 2.
Okay. Where's the lowest you can go? That's because I said I'm throwing it in Unfamiliar, so we'll... We could average it out.
I kind of like it maybe at the bottom of B or the top of C.
Okay, bottom of B after Exegol?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
All right, three planets left. We are over 70 minutes into this thing and still ranking Star Wars planets. You love to see it. Vandor is a cold frontier planet.
From Solo.
Mm-hmm. Hoth knockoff, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the scenes on this planet. Just snow as a background to any scene is really fun.
What even happened on that planet? I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
I think that's the scene where they're trying to, like, rob that train or something.
Oh, that's where Val dies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I just hate that. I just hate that she dies, so I'm going to throw this under the bus.
You want to put it on C?
We can put it on C. Trying to think of where.
I like the top of C.
Top of C? All right, let's go top of C.
It'd be in B, but
yeah.
It's a Hoth knockoff, so it's going down to C. Wobani. This one I know is from Rogue One, based off the picture.
Is this where the all of the scientists were, where Galen Erso was with all the other scientists? Is that where Wobania was? Where he ultimately dies?
I think so. Let's see. Leia realized how truly terrible the natives were being treated, decided to take as many refuge back to Alderaan as she could. Let's see. These refugees were taken to Alderaan. Like, I'm reading this and not having any memory of this scene.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that either.
It's in this scene is the scene where K2SO says to Jyn Erso, "Congratulations, you are being rescued. Please do not resist." It's not jogging any memories for me.
So that's with Jyn Erso, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a really short scene. That's like at the beginning of Rogue One, and it just that's it. Yeah.
How are we feeling about unfamiliar?
Unfamiliar is fine with me.
All right. Last but not least, we've reached last planet.
This is a good ending one, I will say. This is a good one to end on.
Yavin 4, the conclusion of A New Hope. I'm feeling S tier on this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd be fine with S. Gosh. S is so good though. Would you put it at the bottom of S?
I don't get me wrong, I love Kamino. Mm-hmm. But I think I would put Yavin 4 above Kamino.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. And that is our list. We went through, I don't know how many planets that is, 6, 12, 19, 25,
32, 35. Yeah, a lot.
50. I think it was 50 planets.
Jeez, that was a lot. That was a lot more than... Remember when I was like, oh, we should get like 15 or something like that. We got 50 on this one.
Well,
now... There's a lot, though.
Now we know... In our next tier list that we do, we're hoping to do it actually maybe live, but as a secondary thing, we're probably going to top it max at 20, maybe nice, less than that. So, no, this was fun. I really like looking at the final product of a tier list and thinking kind of, you know, what it looks like in comparison one to another.
Yeah.
Clearly, if there's something that stands out to people as being... you know, not where you would put the planet. Let us know down in the comments as well.
We'll save this image too, and you know, share it on the socials and see what people have to say. You know, where they would put it, put everything. I do have one question for you though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So the last couple of weeks, we used ChatGPT to tell us the top and worst moments of Star Wars. What do you think was number one? What do you think ChatGPT said number one planet of Star Wars was? I should read this. Ranking the top Star Wars planets is subjective, as it depends on factors like significance to the plot, cultural impact, aesthetic, the personal preference. However, here's a list based on popularity, importance in the Star Wars universe, and fan appreciation. So that was kind of like the preface
So Gibbo said Coruscant. I was actually gonna agree with him and say Coruscant as well. Is it Coruscant? Okay.
It is not Coruscant. Coruscant is number two, though.
Okay. I think so, ChatGPT picked... Gosh, if it's not Coruscant, then is it Tatooine?
Gibbo, what do you think? So, Ben says Tatooine.
I feel like it has to be Tatooine if it's not Coruscant. Like, it's so central to the story. Even if there's nothing, like, flashy about it.
Okay, Gibbo says Hoth. Yes!
It is Hoth?
No, it is Tatooine. But oh. but we had to get the shout out to Hoth. Yes, Tatooine. Nice. Iconic desert planet, home of Luke Skywalker and Anakin Skywalker. Central to the original trilogy and the prequels. So yeah, that is... Tatooine is ChatGPT's number one planet.
Man, I'm feeling guilty about having Tatooine on A. but yeah, anyways, let us know your thoughts on the socials and in the comments below the video version of the podcast. Where would you have each of these planets? Where would you put Hoth? Where would you put Tatooine? Did we mess up anywhere? Let us know your thoughts.
And we can also link the tier list in the show notes for people to play along.
Definitely, yeah. Submit us your pictures on social media once you've ranked the planets on your tier list, and we can... maybe showcase some aspects of those on the next episode of the podcast. So That is, of course, leading into our viewer question this week. What is your favorite planet in Star Wars? Let us know that as well. And on next week's episode of the podcast, this is one that literally back probably like 30, 40 episodes ago when we were doing show ideas. This has been in our show ideas doc for like the past year almost, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real.
We're doing a review of Star Wars Resistance. Now, this is a show that up until like a week and a half ago, I had never seen before. I know, Joey, you had seen it once before. I'm basically done with the first of two seasons of this show, and I'm actually liking it a lot. I'm excited to kind of have a conversation next week about Star Wars Resistance, as it tends to be kind of the forgotten Star Wars project of the last 10 years, perhaps. So, although it does, now that I've found out from the Ahsoka show, it does relate to the plot of a lot of the stuff they're doing during the New Republic era with Senator Ziono, I think that's his mm-hmm. name. So anyways, it's a cool show. I'm glad I gave it a chance because I was not crazy about it. And now that I'm halfway through, I'm excited to talk about it on next week's episode of the podcast, episode 96 with you, Joey. So yeah, I'm pumped about Resistance, which is something I didn't expect. So join us next week for episode 96 of the pod, where we will be doing a Star Wars Resistance review. Looking forward to that very much. So having said all of that, I want to give you a final reminder for this episode that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast and all of the latest reactions to the new Star Wars shows when they do go live. Thank you to the 450 of you who are subscribed over there. Shout out to Snoop Dogg.
Snoopaloop.
You can email us with your thoughts, comments, or otherwise related to Star Wars at hothhangout@gmail.com, and we would love to showcase them here on the pod. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We would appreciate it very much, and it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other Star Wars fans as well. We're on the socials at Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Send us your pictures on social media this week of your tier lists once you've completed them. We'd love to take a look at those. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server will be down in the show notes of today's episode and in the show notes of today's episode. As Joey mentioned, you can find the link to the tier list that we used for our template this week. So check it out. Having said all that, Joey, any last thoughts on today's episode? This might qualify as our longest episode we've done in like months and months and months.
Yeah. It still probably isn't top our very first episode. It was almost like 2 hours talking about like the first couple of episodes of Andor or whatever it was. So we're still better than that, guys. Trust me. But yeah, this was fun. These tier lists are always a little fun. This is one of those things that, you know, people can just have fun with. There's no real, you know, discussion around it. Just like, what do you think is cool? And this is what we think is cool. So always a fun time, especially these weeks that we don't have anything to particularly review. We just kind of just throw things at the wall and we see what sticks. So this was a fun one to do, and more tier lists, I'm sure, in the future.
Yeah. Let us know what you want us to do for our next tier list. And I also want to say a big thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show video and assets, and for moving all those things around as we were talking through our thought process, our jumbled thought processes of our favorite Star Wars planets. So appreciate you, Gibbo. Gibbo, who is as cool as Hoth and as hot as Mustafar? Ooh.
Oh my.
Oh my. shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out to every single Star Wars planet, especially the folks on Alderaan and on... Sevens. Yep, 07s for those on Alderaan and Hosnian Prime. Today's episode is dedicated to all of you. So, much love. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. We'll catch you next week in our review of Star Wars Resistance. And once again, hope you have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, or night, whenever you're listening to this. And we will catch you in the next one. And until then, may the Force be with you.